Hello and welcome to our service for Sunday the 14th of June, Ingleton Evangelical Church. Once more, thank you for joining us, especially if you're one of us who meets regularly, but also if you're a visitor as well. It's great to have you listening in as we are online at the moment and can't meet physically. We do long to be able to meet together, don't we? Back in our own buildings where we normally meet, we can't do that at the moment, but we're praying that soon we will be able to. But in the meantime, let's keep making the most of this means of grace that we do have, the opportunity to at least hear God's word read, to hear prayers, to hear his word preached, taught, explained and applied. We're continuing in Mark's gospel this morning as we look at the next passage, which is all about rest. The rest that ultimately is found only in Jesus Christ. As usual, if as you listen in this morning, you have any questions or you just want to get in contact with us as a church for any reason, you can do that. Head over to our website, ingletonevangelicalchurch.org, and use the contact page there. Also, once you've finished watching this video, please head over to the playlist part of our YouTube channel. There you'll find some songs tied in, particularly with what we've been looking at today. You'll also find there Lauren's Kids Talk and some songs for the children as well. So if you have younger ones, hopefully they'll find that helpful and enjoyable to listen to Lauren and then sing and dance a bit maybe afterwards as well. As we continue, we're going to come before God in prayer, and we're going to particularly pray along the themes of the restlessness that our lives find themselves in, our country finds itself in, even our world. There's a lot it would seem to be restless about at the moment, between COVID-19 and lockdown and a restlessness to be able to be released from that, between the restlessness as well of all the debates at the moment about race and Black Lives Matter, and the real disharmony and restlessness there is over that. Our world needs prayer. We need to bring it before God. So let's come before God in prayer now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that we can come before you, the God who has made all things, who sustains all things. We come this morning knowing that you are in control, Lord God. You are on the throne. We thank you for that, even as we perhaps feel restlessness in our own lives, a restlessness to return to something like the normality that we knew before this pandemic. A restlessness amongst many people around us in our land and further afield about the injustices they see around them. And in a restlessness to do something and put things right. A lot of restlessness that perhaps many of us find harder to define. A restlessness that comes from not knowing you. Lord, we pray that in all of this, you would reveal yourselves to men and women and boys and girls. That in the Lord Jesus Christ, people would find true rest. A rest that meets our needs, whatever those needs are, that finds those needs fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come before you to confess this morning that our restlessness is a result of our own sinfulness, our own rebellion against you. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, lost the rest they had with you because they disobeyed you. And with that brought a curse from you on this world that you have made. Judgment. And all the restlessness. Restlessness caused by disease, restlessness caused by injustice, restlessness because we just cannot find anything that satisfies. It's because of that sin ultimately. So we pray that you would forgive us, that you would cause us to find our rest in you. Lord, we pray for our church, Lord. We pray as we continue through lockdown and perhaps it's getting to that point or long got to that point where it's grinding us down and and making it very difficult for us. We pray that you would lift us up as we look at your word this morning, that you would fix our eyes once more in Jesus and the hope that we have in him, the rest that we have in him. Lord, do us good and bless us in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. We pray as well for our country, for our leaders particularly. Lord, they have such a demanding task at the moment. We may not agree with every decision they make, but Lord, we pray that nevertheless you would give them wisdom. We pray that there would be rest in our land. Lord, that yes, justice would be done, right would be done, but that that would bring rest. Although we know ultimately it will not be found outside of you. So we pray for our land that people would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that nothing is impossible for you. Lord, when we despair, Lord, at what we see around us, we thank you that you are the God who can change things in a moment. Whether you do is up to you, but you will work out your good and perfect plan. So we pray then that you would help us to trust you and to fix our eyes upon you. And we ask all of this with the forgiveness of our sins. In Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we continue now, we're going to hear God's word read to us from Mark and the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. One of our members here at Ingleton is going to read that passage for us now. So I'll hand over to Jean.
Our reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" But he answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful to do on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus.
In this world, we are surrounded, aren't we, by restlessness, as we've already touched on earlier in this service. Restlessness in the world around us, restlessness within our own hearts and lives. Just turn on the news at the moment, and you will see, as you do that, or as you check out social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it may be, it becomes incredibly obvious that we are living in a restless world. Restless about our health during the pandemic, restless about how people relate to one another, as this whole debate about race has come up. Restless, although perhaps we don't put our finger on this in quite the same way, about the very meaning of life. Where does this restlessness come from? Well, it comes from unsatisfied needs. Unsatisfied needs for a healthy body make us restless. Unsatisfied needs for healthy relationships with other people, relationships of all sorts, make us restless. Unsatisfied need for a right and healthy relationship with God himself leaves us restless. There's restlessness in all of our hearts because of the needs that we feel and have, which we ourselves can never fully satisfy and meet. We just cannot do it. Doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard at overcoming health problems that people have. It doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard at overcoming relationship problems between individuals and races that we undoubtedly have. We should work hard at that. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek a healthy relationship with God. We could, should, but we can't do it ourselves, not fully. There's restlessness in all of our hearts because we cannot fully satisfy our needs. Well, enter Jesus, Lord of rest. A passage today, Mark 2:23-3:6. It's all about rest. Everything said and done in this passage takes place on a Sabbath. You may have noticed that word coming up as Jean read just earlier. And Sabbath is a word that literally means rest. We think of it as referring to a day, and it does. It was a Saturday. But the word Sabbath literally means rest. Saturday was to be a day of rest, the Sabbath. And on this day of Sabbath rest, here in Mark's Gospel, Jesus and his disciples are passing through some grain fields in Galilee. And as they go, the disciples pluck some heads of grain. They split them open and they eat them. It seems like a perfectly innocent activity, doesn't it? But it has the Pharisees twitching. Why? Well, the thing that has got the Pharisees so wound up and upset is that they were doing this brain plucking and splitting and eating on a Sabbath. Amongst the Ten Commandments given to Israel at Mount Sinai, back in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, was the commandment about the Sabbath. It goes like this in Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, that's Sunday to Friday, you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And the Pharisees think they have Jesus and his disciples trapped here, guilty of breaking the Sabbath law. In verse 2 they say, why are you doing what it is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? How do you think Jesus will answer? What will he do and say? Well, what he does is he picks an Old Testament example of an occasion where David, God's anointed king, apparently seemed to break an Old Testament law, but was not considered to have done anything wrong as a result. It's right there in verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. That's a fascinating answer for Jesus to give, actually. Jesus effectively says to the Pharisees, you're accusing me of breaking one of God's laws. Okay, well, if that's the case, so did David. So what is going on here? What point or points is Jesus actually making to the Pharisees and to us by extension? The first general point in this passage is that Jesus is teaching that the law, particularly as regards the Sabbath here, was not to be interpreted in such a way as to leave people hungry when food was actually there available. It was perfectly right then to use the Sabbath to meet people's physical needs. If restlessness is a result of unsatisfied needs, then a designated day of rest like the Sabbath was is a very appropriate day on which to make sure those needs are met. Jesus uses the example of what David did in the Old Testament to make exactly this point. The incident in David's life that Jesus is referring to can be found in 1 Samuel 21 and verses 1 to 6. David was not the king recognized by the people of Israel at this point in his life. A man named Saul was. But David had already been anointed as God's recognized choice of Israel's king. Saul knew that, and he was angry about that. He attempted to hunt down David and take his life. He saw him as a threat to the throne, which he was. It was on one of the occasions when David and his men then were trying to escape Saul that they come to the house of God. At that time, it was a large tent called the tabernacle. In the tabernacle was what was known as the bread of the presence of God. And this was 12 loaves placed on a table in the tabernacle and replaced once a week, probably on a Sabbath. The old bread, once it had been removed from that table of the presence, it could be eaten, but only by the priests, not by anyone else. So you could say that according to the letter of the law, God's word said it was not lawful for any but the priests to eat this bread. But David and his men ate it. They were in need. They were hungry. There was no other food available. So they ate the bread of the presence. And they were not wrong to do so. That ceremonial law then concerning the bread of the presence was never meant to be applied, that law, in such a way that compassion was excluded in a situation where there was a basic need like hunger. Jesus is using the example of David and his men then in order to make the point that the same is true of the Sabbath itself. Sabbath observance was not meant to get in the way of meeting basic human needs like hunger. To say that such an activity as picking grain as they walk through a grain field was wrong was applying the law concerning the Sabbath in a totally inappropriate way. The point is further backed up by what happens next with the incident in verses 1 to 6 of Mark chapter 3. Again, in verses 1 to 6, Jesus is being watched by the Pharisees who are waiting for him to slip up so that they can find a reason to accuse him of breaking God's law. They want to undermine Jesus so that people don't pay any attention to him, but pay attention to them instead. Again, they think they found a case of Sabbath breaking. The Pharisees reasoned, you see, that healing people on a Sabbath was only permissible in cases where life was in immediate danger. In other words, healing a person was only allowed if that person would die without treatment there and then. Well, on this particular Sabbath, there was a man present in the synagogue, where Jesus was, who had a withered hand. Now, there is nothing to suggest here that this man would die that day without a miraculous intervention from Jesus there and then. Presumably, he'd lived with this withered hand for a long time. It inconvenienced him. And it would inconvenience him for a bit longer if Jesus did nothing, but surely it didn't have to be healed that day. The Pharisees suspected, though, that there was a good chance Jesus would heal him on that Sabbath day itself, even though his life wasn't in imminent danger. Verse 5 tells us that Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. He knew their thoughts as they watched him and watched this other man with the withered hand. You might think Jesus would therefore think, well, I'll put off the healing till the next day. I'll do it on Sunday instead of Saturday, the Sabbath. I'll avoid a confrontation with the Pharisees. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he says to the man, come and stand here. Then he asks the Pharisees a question. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill? And then Jesus looks at them all as if inviting an answer, as if to say, what do you think? It's pretty clear what Jesus thought. He tells this needy man to stretch out his hand, And as the man does this, his hand is miraculously healed. Jesus' point, of course, is that there is no day of the week on which it is inappropriate to do good to those around you, inappropriate to meet people's needs. And that, of course, includes a Sabbath. In fact, a Sabbath was particularly appropriate for doing this. Jesus doesn't teach that only works of absolute necessity should be done on the Sabbath. His actions show that any good work that met the needs of those around him was not only acceptable to do, but right to do. Fitting for a Sabbath day. So these two incidents teach us that we do have to be very careful about how we interpret God's law. It was never intended to hold us back from meeting the needs of those around us as they arise, from doing good to others, no matter what day of the week it is. But there is more to this passage than that. Right at the centre of this passage, and I think they're deliberately at the centre of it, are verses 27 and 28 of chapter 2. They read like this. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." There are two statements basically made by Jesus. The first one is this. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. As human beings, we need rest from our restlessness. Our needs have to be satisfied for us to have rest. Our physical bodily needs need to be satisfied, like hunger. Our need for healthy relationships with other people need to be satisfied, be that a marriage relationship, a work relationship, a relationship between races. Our need for a healthy spiritual relationship with God needs to be satisfied for us to know rest. These needs must be satisfied if we are to truly rest. God knows that. That's why he gave the Sabbath day to his old covenant people, Israel. To meet their physical needs, their relational needs towards one another, their relational needs towards God. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So to use the Sabbath as a means of denying people the satisfying of some of their needs, like hunger, like healing disease, to deny that on the Sabbath horrified and angered Jesus. It would. It totally misunderstood the purpose of that day. It denied people rest. Jesus then makes his second statement. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus says, I am the Lord of rest. I am the Lord of rest. I am the Lord then who satisfies people's needs so that they can have rest. When Jesus first made the world, he made a world of rest. You have the 6 days of his creation work at the beginning of the Bible, and on the seventh day he rests. Now rest here doesn't mean does nothing. It rested from his work of creation, but he still worked in terms of he still upheld the universe by the word of his power. But he rested. And that rest in which all needs were satisfied is enjoyed with him by the first people he made, Adam and Eve. So during that restful period before the fall, Adam and Eve's physical bodily needs were provided for, as they were told they can eat from any tree in the Garden of Eden. Any tree except one. But their bodily needs are provided for. Physically, there is no need that presses upon them because they have all they need physically. Also, their human relational needs are provided for. Initially, Jesus just makes a man, Adam. But he knows that it's not good for Adam to be alone. He needs another human being there with him. So he creates the woman from the body of Adam. And then they live together in perfect relational harmony. Their human relational needs are provided for. They have rest in their human relationship. And thirdly, their spiritual needs are provided for as Jesus walks with them in the garden. They have worshipful fellowship with God, a perfect relationship with Him as their spiritual needs. They're created as spiritual beings, made to know and worship and enjoy God, and that need is met as they meet with Jesus in the garden. It's a world of perfect rest with Jesus as Lord. And then, of course, Adam and Eve throw it all away. They eat from the tree God commanded them not to eat, and restlessness sets in. Physical rest no longer exists as the ground is cursed. It's toil and labour now that is involved in the work that Adam has to do to make the ground produce food to eat. Disease comes in, death comes in. Physical rest is lost. Human relational needs are no longer met in the way they were. The man and the woman are at odds with each other. They do have children, but one of them kills the other. Relational human relationships, they break down and that rest is lost. Spiritual relational needs are no longer fully met as Jesus withdraws his presence. He no longer walks in the garden with them. They are banished from the garden. Rest is lost. And human beings, all of us, have been living restless lives ever since. Looking for rest in all the wrong places, from all the wrong people and all the wrong things. But then along comes Jesus and says, I am the Lord of rest. Come to me, as he says in Matthew's Gospel, in a passage very parallel to this one. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those are wonderful words for the restless, for you and I. That old covenant Sabbath day was a taster of, a picture of what Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of rest, actually gives. Real, need satisfying at every level, rest. This is why he fed his disciples with grain from that field on the Sabbath. They needed it to know rest, physical rest. That's why he healed that man on the Sabbath. He needed healing himself to know physical rest of another sort, healing from his withered hand. Of course, it's why ultimately Jesus went to the cross to pay for his people's sin. You see, sin, our sin, is the real root of our restlessness. It was at the root of Adam and Eve's restlessness, the first people to know restlessness as they lost the rest they had because they sinned, they disobeyed God. Sin is the root of our restlessness. As Christians, we sometimes say then that our greatest need is for forgiveness from God. Now, there's truth in that, but more needs to be said. than just forgiveness is our greatest need. Because actually our greatest need is for God himself. Our greatest need is for Jesus. Our greatest need is to intimately know him, obediently worship him, endlessly enjoy him. That's our greatest need. Without God himself, without Christ, we are forever restless. But sin leaves us cut off from God under his wrath and judgment. It leaves us forever restless. So we need his forgiveness, and we need that forgiveness in order to bring us into the rest of knowing Christ, worshipping him, enjoying him. That forgiveness only comes as we trust Jesus to pay for our sin on the cross, and thereby open up the way back to God, because the thing that cuts us off from him, our sin, has been dealt with in Christ and his death in our place. So then, do you know rest? Have you come to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, so that that thing that blocks you from knowing God, from worshipping God, from enjoying God, has been dealt with? Have you come to Jesus, trusted him, found rest in him? He's the only one in whom true rest can be found. If you are a Christian, you have that rest. Praise God for it. But of course, you'll know that it doesn't mean that you're never restless at all in this life now. Even as forgiven people who trust in Jesus, we still live in a fallen, sin-sick world. We still live in a world that is under the curse, brought down by Adam and Eve as they threw away rest back there in Eden. So because of that, we still do have needs not yet fully satisfied. Physically, people still suffer. Christians can go hungry. Christians can be ill. Christians can know disability. Physically, we don't yet know full and perfect rest. We have needs still to be satisfied relationally. Christians can still know strained relationships with other people, spouses, children, work colleagues. Christians, as we're discovering at the moment, can still go through strain as they try to work through things like the relationship between races. And even spiritually, our needs are not yet fully satisfied. They will be, but we don't yet see Jesus face to face. We still see through a glass darkly, as Paul says elsewhere in the Bible. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 verse 9, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. In other words, still to come is full and complete rest for those who have trusted in Jesus. Complete Sabbath rest in Jesus, complete rest from sin and all its effects in terms of our physical bodies, its effects in terms of our human relationships, its effects in terms of our relationship with God himself. Complete rest from sin has not yet arrived, but it will for God's people. It will arrive when Jesus returns, when he establishes and reigns over a new creation of perfect rest. And that new creation of perfect rest is one where we are told we will have resurrection bodies like his resurrection body. In that new creation, our bodies will never go hungry. They'll never endure pain. They'll never know disease. Every need met, perfect physical rest because of what Christ has done and will do. In that new creation, we will enjoy perfect relationships with one another. No more broken down relationships between people. sin has been removed. We will know perfect communion with one another in that new creation, perfect rest relationally with other people, and of course, perfect rest in relation with God. As we see Jesus face to face, as we worship him and obey him perfectly, bringing a fullness of joy that is beyond description. Complete rest spiritually with him. We can know it in part now, and it's wonderful that we do as people who know Jesus through faith in Jesus. But it's just a taster of what's to come. There is a Sabbath rest that yet remains for the people of God. And if you have faith in Jesus now as the one who gives you rest, then you can look forward to having it completely when he returns and brings in the new creation. Isn't that wonderful? Once more, as we look at our world now, we see unrest, restlessness. It has its impact upon us. It must have its impact upon you. So where is rest found? True rest. It's found in Jesus, the one who can deal with the thing that brings about our restlessness, sin. The one who pays for it on the cross as you put your trust in him. And the one who then brings perfect rest. The one who will one day bring it completely when he returns, as we are given resurrection bodies, as we are united to one another, and there is no more fallout, as we are brought to God himself and see Christ face to face and worship him and enjoy him forever. Come to Jesus, all who are laden, all who labour, and you will find rest for your soul. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lord of rest. We thank you that you can forgive us our sin as we come to you, because you have paid for that sin on the cross yourself for all your people. And we thank you that as our sins are forgiven, the way back to relationship with you is opened up before us, a relationship of perfect rest, as all our needs are satisfied in Christ. Lord, help us then to trust you and know that rest that you give. We ask it in your name. Amen.